Hello, Elam. Yes, praise God. It is such an honor to be up here and getting to share on the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Sidkenu, sorry. Don't worry, I went over this. I just want to say, I think it's so beautiful. We're going over the names of God right now. It's so important for us to know the names of God. As the Bible says, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And when we know who God is in our life, we will not be destroyed because of lack of knowledge. When we know God as our El Elyon, the God Most High, we won't stray and turn aside to idols. When we know God as our Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals us, we won't be as scared of disease. And when we know God as our Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, we won't worry about tomorrow. And today I'm going to be talking about Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And when you know God is our righteousness, you will realize that it was never up to you, it was never up to your works to measure up, to carry the burdens on your own, but that the Lord Jesus Christ, He carried the burdens for us on the cross. And so I just want to share a little bit of how the Lord, our righteousness, has just touched my life and just why I feel so blessed to get to share on the Lord, our righteousness. So Pastor Paul invited me into this series and shared with me a list of the names of God. And just quickly scanning, I felt the Lord prompt me straight to the Lord our righteousness. And I just know that this one was for me because I know I wouldn't be standing here if I didn't know the Lord is my righteousness. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. And I know that the devil has tried to sift my life, has tried to throw obstacles at me, has tried to pull me down, but the Lord has delivered me out of every trial and tribulation, and I continue to be uplifted and encouraged and edified by him, because I know that it's not my works that are going to pave the way for me to get into heaven, but it's Jesus and his blood and his righteousness alone that is going to get me into heaven. And so today I just want to share a little bit more on that. I have some scripture that I'd love to dive into. But yeah, thanks. And I just pray that just hearts are open to receive what God has for you today. I just believe that the Lord wants to take burdens off of our backs and just encourage us to step into the calling that God has for us, a beautiful and great calling. And I know that the lie of the enemy for a lot of us in our lives is that you did something, that you've been hurt, that you didn't measure up in a certain spot in your life that's holding you back from walking into your calling. And I believe today that the Lord just wants to show you that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to wash away all sins. So just to dive into it a little bit, in the Old Testament, we know that the blood of bulls and goats were offered year after year to cover the sins of the people. And they would have to sacrifice these animals year after year to cover their sins. And then they'd do it again. And they would always be striving to meet this level of righteousness that the Lord required, because the Lord is perfect. He is a perfect God, and he requires a perfect standard. And so the people, year after year, trying to measure up, live a righteous life, failing, sacrificing animals, trying to do it again. And then Jesus comes along, and he is the once and for all payment for the sins of the people, the once and for all blood of Jesus that washes away the sins, whereas the blood of bulls and goats just covered the sins, you know, for them to still be there, just covered. They might poke up again, they might happen next year. But when Jesus washes away your sins, it's as if they never happened. God blots them out and forgets them and remembers your sins no more. And that's what the remission of sins means. So I just want to share a little bit of that, because God is so good. And like a good father, he doesn't want to remember bad things about his kids. He just wants to remember the honors, the glory, the good moments, the times that you shared love with other people. And so why would he want to hold on to the things that, you know, dishonor the family or different things like that? As quick as possible, he wants to remove those things from your life. And it's as simple as just turning from them and just running back into his loving arms, because his arms are open for us every time. He's a God that he calls us to forgive 7 times 77. How much more a God with unlimited capacity of love and forgiveness to accept us every time we turn from him. And the Bible tells us that those who come to him, in no means will he cast out. So I just want to encourage you today, there might be just something that's holding you back, that you feel like you're too far, that it's been too long, you haven't been praying enough, you haven't been showing up to church, and I just believe that the Lord wants to remind you that it was never about that. It was never about your works. That is all about what Jesus did, his work, and his finished payment on the cross. So just to dive into our scripture text a little bit, in Jeremiah is our first mention of the Lord, our righteous, as Jehovah Tsidkenu. And so I just wanted to jump into this text and just, you know, see what the Lord has for us surrounding this text where he declares himself as the Lord, our righteousness. So if you'd like to turn with me, I'm going to Jeremiah 33:3 to start. Just give you a moment. Praise God. Okay. It's okay if you're still finding it, but here we go. Jeremiah 33:3, it says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." And I just want to stop there because I know the world and some of us and all of us have turned astray and looked for answers for other places. Looked to answers for the lying media, from the lying media. Looked to answers from social media. Looked to answers from just friends that don't really know what they're talking about. And it's like we've all looked for answers somewhere, and people are dabbling with, you know, witchcraft because they want to experience the supernatural. People are dabbling with all types of things, that are drugs that are leading them astray, because they want to experience something. They want to experience joy. They want to experience something, and that is found alone in Jesus Christ. And I just want to say the Lord is calling you to call to him. I just want to challenge you, when's the last time that you called on to him for one of the answers you're searching for, instead of Google or something else or a book that isn't Bible related? And I just challenge you, just call into the Lord and see what he has for you in the secret place, because God carries all mysteries and knowledge and understanding in the palm of his hand, and he can just hand it to you. And just like a coach, you know, I coach soccer, so I have little kids, and it's like things that I learned over my whole life, I can just hand them. And it's just a joy that they don't have to struggle through everything I struggle through to learn what I know. But it's like I can just hand it to them if they're listening and they're tuned in and they're hungry to learn. And same with us. God has riches and vast resources of knowledge and understanding and talents and ideas and creative things to share with the world. But how many people are tuning in their ear to listen to God and see what they have, that he has for them? And just one thing that comes to my heart as I'm thinking that is like the Wright brothers, the Christian men, and they're like the first people to fly in an airplane. It's like, I believe that the Lord just honored them. God wants to get inventions to us, and sometimes they come through people who aren't even believers, because God wants to get us good things, and he's going to get it to us somehow. But I know that the Lord wants to use us. So just moving, it's one verse, and that's just one verse that you can elaborate on. The Bible is deep, and you can read fast through it, and you can get through it, and you can say that you read a book of the Bible, but God has intimacy in there for you. He has depths in there for you, and he has just a love for you, and he wants to talk to you and teach you things and reveal things so that he can edify you and the whole church. So going on to verse 4, "For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the houses in this city and the royal palaces of Judah that have been torn down to be used against the siege ramps and the sword in the fight with the Babylonians. They will be filled with the dead bodies of the people I will slay in my anger and wrath. I will hide my face from this city because of all its wickedness." And so I just want to stop there. And it seems kind of like a hard verse, like the Lord is about to do something like and let something happen to his chosen people. Like, why let the Babylonians take over them, hurt them, hinder them? And it's like the Babylonians, it's like they don't serve God. They don't care for God. They just want to plunder. And it's like, why, like, is this happening? And it's like the Lord is just, he's so jealous for us. And when the Babylonians, they don't know God. So for them to do reckless things or nonsense, it's like it's in their nature. But for God's chosen people who know him, that have tasted life, that have tasted the goodness of God, and then turn astray, and then turn to idols, and then turn to things that are less than God, it hurts the heart of God. And it grieves him, you know, that people that were close to him are now gone. If you didn't know him at all, it'd be one thing. And, you know, there's grace and there's mercy. The Bible says the sun shines on the righteous and the wicked. But when you know him and you've tasted it and you have that depth with him, and then to run away, it hurts. And so this is what's happening. The Babylonians are taking over. But the Lord is gracious. And in verse 6, it says, "Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and let them enjoy abundant peace and security. I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity, and I will rebuild them as they were before." So I just want to repeat this verse really quick, because as I was going through this scripture, this touched me so much, and it was so healing for me. It's a simple verse, but just to receive it in faith, and this is what the Lord wants to do in your life, that I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity, knowing that Judah and Israel are his chosen people, and knowing that you are his chosen people. I will bring them back from captivity, and I will rebuild them as they were before. And just knowing, we a lot of us have walked with the Lord. We've experienced the goodness of God. We've been in ministry. We were praying for people on the streets. We were doing all that stuff, and now, you know, there's something else. You don't feel qualified, whatever it may be. Someone said something mean to you that you weren't doing it right, and now you stopped. But there's a captivity that isn't just, you know, prison walls. There's a captivity in the mind that the Lord wants to free you from, that he wants to release you to fly again, to go out there and talk to people and to be fearless and to know that the Lord is with you. He has never left you and never forsaken you. And just the promise that I will rebuild them as they were before, and just to restore. There's a heart, a childlike heart in a lot of you, where you might be a lot older than me, but in your heart, you want to run around, you want to do missions, you want to, you know, scream Jesus from the rooftops. And I'm saying, go do it. I was in California just recently, and I bumped into a woman a lot older than me. She was sitting in a wheelchair, and I stopped to pray for her, and you know, she got stirred up. You know, she's in a wheelchair. She's, you know, just kind of like been, you know, she got in an accident. She'd been this way for a little while. But then just talking with her again, to pray with her. Now this woman, Carmelita is her name, is calling me, asking me how to get connected to mission organizations, because she wants to go, even though she's in a wheelchair, out and do missions and go to Houston. And I'm just letting her know, like, if that's your heart, if that's your hunger, it's available to you. I've just been sharing with her the opportunities, and it's like the Lord, the only qualification is that you love him. That's the only qualification that you can have. And it's like, and that love that you have for him isn't even your own love. The Bible says that he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. It's only after we've experienced the love of God that we can love ourselves. It's only after that we've experienced the Lord as our righteousness that we can do or behave in any righteous sort of manner. Because if we don't encounter God as our righteousness, we don't know what righteous is. If we don't encounter God as love, we don't know what love is. But when we know God as the one who forgives our sins, that blots out our transgressions, that removes them as far as the east is from the west, we can step forward. We can do acts of righteousness, that we can love, that we can do good works, because it stems out of a good relationship with the Lord. And so I want to keep pushing into this. Thank you, Jesus. So verse 8, "I will cleanse them from all their sin that they have committed against me, and I will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. Then the city will bring me renown, joy, praise, honor before all the nations on the earth that hear of all the good things that I do for it." So God's plan for us is to use us as a joy, that we are a joy to the nations, that we bring peace to the nations, that we bring blessing to the nations, that people see us and know that God is good. And I love this next verse. "And they will be in awe and will tremble at the abundant prosperity and peace I provide for it." So I just pray that's the case for you guys, that God blesses you with such an abundant peace and prosperity, that your neighbors are jealous and they want to know who is this Jesus that they serve. And so, verse 10, this is what the Lord says. You say about this place is a desolate waste, without people or animals. Yet in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither people nor animals, there will be heard once more the sound of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. And then I want to skip down just to verse 15 and 16. This is kind of our key verse where the Lord announces himself as the Lord, our righteousness. It says, in those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. And this is the Lord Jesus. And this is the Lord Jesus' heart for us and our leaders. And we're praying that we have leaders that get on their knees and worship God and cry out to God and seek him for direction. Because right now I believe this is end times. It's been end times since Jesus was on the cross. And we need to be ready for all the craziness, the wars, the rumors of wars, the pestilence, the disease that's going on, because we're right here in it. And we can't afford to walk and live lukewarm and be on the fence of, you know, are we right with God or not? And we have to press in. We have to know the Bible calls us with fear and trembling to work out our salvation. And so if you don't feel you are right, or you feel like, yeah, I know God, I've done a number of good things, and, you know, that should qualify me, that won't qualify you. It's faith in what Jesus did alone that will qualify you, and trusting in him. And as Revelations 2 calls us, return to your first love, the love that you had with God at first. And when you lean into God with that love, you will see just the doors of your life open. I know me, like, I was running the race with the Lord, and the devil comes and tries to push me down, knock me down, lie to me, tell me that, just all kinds of craziness that I, you know, that I'm not, like, good for use anymore. And that's the case with all of us. But the Lord comes and he tells you your true identity, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Because the Bible says God made him who knew no sin become sin, or be made sin, so that we could be made the righteousness of God. And that's Jesus, who knew no sin, that walked the perfect straight path, that didn't deserve punishment, that didn't deserve shame, that didn't deserve anybody spitting on him. In our place, he stepped in and said, here, you take what I deserve. You take my golds, you take my medals, you take my honor, you take my favor, and you give me your titles, that you're unqualified, you're worthless, you're silly, you're whatever it may be, whatever someone may call you. Jesus is asking you to hand over those false identities, those lies from the devil, over to him, and take on again your true identity. Because when you stand as the righteousness of God, although we all know all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we know that all are justified freely by his grace. And so when you stand in the righteousness of God, knowing that it's not me, it's not my works, but it's the Holy Spirit working through me, it's the Lord's righteousness I have, you can confidently look people, leaders, whoever it may be, directly in the eyes and just know you're forgiven, you're safe, you're loved, and you'll have confidence again. And one thing the devil wants to take from you is your confidence, your peace of mind. And so, yeah, praise God. He's so good. All right, and I just want to share with you really quick another thing that the Lord just put on my heart, because there's kind of a misconception that's like, yes, the grace of God, it covers all your sins, it washes all your sins. It's like, what's the point of doing anything good then? Or what's the point of not doing anything bad? You'll just be forgiven. And that's what I hear some people call greasy grace. You know, it's like, God forgives me, like, keep messing around. And, yeah. But one thing that the Lord showed me when I was about to go to sleep in college, and I wanted to put some scripture in me before I went to bed because I just want something to meditate on. But I was so tired, so exhausted that I was just like, I'm just going to open up to some book in the Bible and just like, Lord, give me something. And I opened up and it was like a genealogy. And I was like, Lord, what do I do with this? It's like, you know, I'm hungry for you. You know, I want something from you. You know, I need to be nourished. I've been striving at school. And it's like, I felt the Lord just speak to me, look up the name. Look up the name. What does that name mean? And so I went in, and the name that I was looking at is Issachar. And so I quickly look it up, and the name meant there is reward. There is reward for the things that you're pushing through, everything you're persevering through, working hard in school, even when people aren't looking, there is reward. And it's like, well, okay, you're going to just do good because there's reward to it. Well, like God programmed us to work for reward, but the reward is you guys. The reward is having others saved and worship with us and encounter the love of God with us and to be in the presence of God with us and see them again in heaven. That is our reward. We'll get crowns and other things, but we'll lay those down before Jesus. You guys are the reward, and the people we see on the streets are the reward. And so we fight for that reward because the Lord has put a heart of compassion inside of us as a believer. When you believe in Christ, He gives you a heart of flesh. It's softened. You have compassion that you didn't have or you wouldn't have had before. And that compassion leads us. And Jesus did miracles by compassion. He was moved in compassion and He prayed for the sick. He was moved in compassion because the Bible says faith worketh by love. And so when we move in love, our faith works and prayers are answered and things change and diseases run. And so I just wanted to share that with you guys, that there is reward, that your labor is not in vain, that you haven't been running in vain, that you haven't been sitting through church services in vain. The Bible says better is a day in my courts than 1,000 elsewhere. The hour that you spend here is better than 1,000 elsewhere. The things that the Lord is downloading into your spirit, even though some of it may seem like it's going past your brain, is better than 1,000 elsewhere outside of the presence of God, where darkness and where you're open to the attacks of the devil and just all the nonsense that TV sends into your eyes. And so I just want to close out and pray for everyone. The Lord is so good. I've seen Him change people's lives just in prayer and even simple things. I know, like, things as silly as like my mail is like delayed. Like I've seen prayer and it's just like now it's there, or prayer and now it's found, and it's just the Lord cares. The Bible says that the prayer of a righteous man is effective. And we know it's not us that, you know, it's effective because of our righteousness, but it's effective because we have taken on the righteousness of God and we trust in what He says. And so I'm just going to pray in faith. And if you're believing for a miracle today, I believe in miracles. And I just want you to come in agreement. Two or three are gathered to an agreement. God will do something. So Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to be up here and just glorify your name, Lord God. You are deserving. And Lord God, I just pray that you answer the prayers of the people, Lord God, who are crying out to you. Lord God, you see their tears. You see what happens in the secret place. You see where no one else is looking, Lord God. And I just pray that you honor them and you honor their cries to you, Lord God, and that you just bring a speedy recovery to those who are experiencing illnesses, Lord God, and those who are looking for reconciliation in the families, Lord God, that you are a God of reconciliation and that's your will for them, Lord God. So I pray in faith that you mend relationships, that you heal broken hearts, Lord God, that you deposit something in their hearts today that will catalyze them to keep pressing forward no matter what people think about them, but that it's only what matters is what you think of them, Lord God. So we just pray and we believe together for healing, restoration, and just the harvest, Lord God. We pray for the harvest and more people coming to church, experiencing your love, experiencing your joy like we've gotten to experience through you, Lord Jesus. So we just pray this in your mighty and precious name. Amen. Hallelujah.